Hi, welcome to Bookie, which unlock big ideas from world bestsellers in audio, text, and mind map. Please download Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play with more features. Get your free mind snack now. Today we unlock the book The Selfish Gene. The first edition of The Selfish Gene was released in 1976. Remarkably, in 2017, a public poll commissioned by the Royal Society ranked it as the most inspiring science book of all time. Although the book is immensely influential, it remains to be highly controversial and often misinterpreted. One of the controversies is the interpretation of the word selfish in the title. As we know, genes determine the traits and characteristics of organisms. For instance, they govern whether a person has brown or black eyes or blonde or black hair. Moreover, genes carry the genetic information of organisms, which is passed on from generation to generation. Because of how genes control the development of individual organisms, it seems to many readers that because genes are inherently selfish, so are the organisms that are completely controlled by their selfish genes. Therefore, it logically follows that human beings are born selfish. The environment cannot change an organism's innate selfishness. Therefore, cooperation, reciprocity, and mutual help amongst people are only delusions. Such misconceptions have impacted the worldviews and values of many readers. A teacher in a remote village wrote a reproachful letter to the author that one of his students was in tears after reading the book, saying that it had made his life empty and meaningless. The teacher, therefore, advised his student not to lend the book to his classmates, to prevent contaminating them with the same nihilistic pessimism. Another reader in Australia told Dawkins that the book made him unsure about his spiritual outlook in life, which caused a crisis in his personal life and even plunged him into depression for more than a decade. Is it true, as many readers believe, that living things are merely subjects to the control of their genes? What exactly does it mean that genes are selfish? What is the correlation between the selfishness of genes and the selfishness of organisms? We will answer these questions for you in this bookie. Next, we will review the book in three sections. Part 1, How do we define selfish genes? Part 2, Survival strategies under the control of selfish genes. Part 3, Fighting against the tyranny of the selfish genes. Part 1, How do we define selfish genes? The best way to understand the title, The Selfish Gene, is by locating the emphasis of the words, which Dawkins explains in his book. If the emphasis is on selfish, you would assume that the book is about human selfishness. However, of the words in the title, readers ought to emphasize the word gene. The author wrote the book intending to explore the topic of evolution and natural selection from the perspective of a gene, and the core idea of the book is that genes are the units of natural selection, and each individual organism is only a carrier and survival mechanism for genes. Let's look at the first half of the sentence, genes are the units of natural selection. How should we interpret this statement? First, let's think about the meaning of natural selection. In Darwin's theory of evolution, natural selection is seen as the main mechanism of species evolution. When we think about natural selection, we may associate it with the phrase survival of the fittest. Organisms able to adapt to the environment will survive, while those who cannot adapt will be eliminated. Have you ever thought about whether the fittest in survival of the fittest refers to the individual organism, the population, or their respective genes? In other words, what is the basic unit of natural selection? Historically, theories have come and gone within the science of biology that stated that the unit of natural selection refers to the individual, the population, and the gene. Designating the individual as the unit of natural selection means that those individual organisms that can adapt to their environment survive and reproduce, while those that cannot adapt are eliminated. For example, mammals with a thicker coat of hair or fur can survive in colder environments, while those that have less hair or fur face greater risk. However, Dawkins points out a flaw in this theory, arguing that genes cannot be passed on completely to the next generation as they will be rearranged or edited in the offspring and the gene may be lost. For example, a person who runs fast may have a greater survival advantage over their slower peers, therefore enjoying a higher chance of reproducing. Following this train of thought, we could conclude that faster individuals are favored by natural selection. However, when this person has a child, the genes that give the ability for running faster may not be passed on to the child, and the child will not necessarily be able to run as fast as the parent does. As such, it is unlikely for this individual to spread the advantage of running faster through reproduction. Therefore, as units of natural selection, individual organisms inherit genes too randomly to achieve continuous and stable biological evolution. Treating groups or populations as units of natural selection means that natural selection favors groups that are better adapted to their environment. This theory has been used by some biologists to explain the altruistic behavior of organisms. For example, some animals risk their lives to send warning signals to their group if a predator is approaching, or even commit suicide when food is scarce. Some biologists believe that these sacrifices can only be explained from the standpoint of the total population, as opposed to individuals, as units of natural selection. Nevertheless, Dawkins points out problems in this theory too. Consider a group in which most of its members are altruistically inclined and in which only a few members are selfish and unwilling to sacrifice for the sake of their peers. If the selfish individuals exploit the altruistic nature of members for their benefit, then the selfish individuals are more likely than the unselfish to survive and reproduce. In this instance, the selfish members would reproduce. At the point when selfish individuals outnumber the original altruistic group members, we could not conclude that natural selection prefers the altruistic group. Therefore, it does not make sense to use group selection to explain the altruistic behavior of animals. Dawkins favors the theory that, instead of individuals and groups, genes are units of natural selection. This book explores the characteristics of genes, the relationship between organisms and their genes, and attempts to understand selfish and altruistic behaviors from this perspective. Next, we will take a closer look at Dawkins' theory. If the unit of natural selection is the gene, what are the individual species, such as humans, lions, and flowers? Dawkins espouses the idea that individual organisms are survival machines for genes, or robot vehicles blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. What does the gene want? It wants to survive and replicate, and it achieves that by reproducing itself so that copies of itself multiply in the gene pool. How do genes control organisms? Dawkins tells us that genes control organisms in the same way that a programmer controls a computer with code. Computer chess is a good analogy here. Computers can only learn to play chess on their own through programmed AI, which is created by a programmer. How does the programmer control them? Do they manipulate the computer every moment like a puppeteer controls a puppet, telling it what to do at every move? No, the programmer simply pre-programs the computer with the rules of chess, strategies, tactics, and considerations, and the computer plays autonomously according to these rules. Loosely speaking, genes control organisms in the same way that programmers control computers. They do everything they can to pre-program organisms' brains to help them cope with the complexities of the future. Once the genes have written the strategy, the brain is responsible for the day-to-day execution. At this point, we have understood the relationship between genes and individual organisms. Nevertheless, one key question remains. What does the selfish gene mean? Are genes actually selfish? Genes are units of natural selection. This means that in the process of evolution, genes compete with other genes. Dawkins states that the successful genes that win and reproduce have a defining characteristic, which is ruthless selfishness. This selfishness in genes will usually give rise to selfishness in individual behavior. Holding this belief, one may feel conflicted and feel that the world has become a less beautiful place. One may also think Dawkins is talking nonsense because we know of countless examples that prove living organisms are not entirely selfish. Dawkins clarifies the meaning of selfishness in his book. He emphasizes that his definition of selfishness is not subjective, but behavioral. The selfishness of an individual organism means that it behaves specifically to increase its personal likelihood of survival, while the selfishness of a gene means that the gene controls the individual to increase the likelihood of its own survival and reproduction. In certain situations, the survival machine may even do something that benefits others to protect the interests of the gene. This will be explained in more detail in the second part. We will look at an example to understand what he means by selfishness. We know of a species of bird called the black-headed gull. These birds usually nest in clusters just a few feet apart. They commonly exhibit a behavior that is quite shocking. Often, they will eat one of their neighbor's chicks while the parents are out hunting or gathering nest materials. After a full meal, and eliminating a potential competitor, this gull will not need to worry about going outside to find food so that they can protect their nest. In this example, the gull's selfish behavior is not a result of selfish intentions, but a means to increase the likelihood of its survival. We come to the end of the first part of today's bookie. We learned that genes are the basic unit of natural selection and that they are ruthlessly selfish. They control the individual organism in which it resides, intending to improve its chances of survival and reproduction. To sum up, an individual organism is essentially a survival mechanism for genes. Today we are just sharing limited content. To unlock more key insights of world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play. Get your free mind snack now.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.